Here is the situation you are supposed to be in. You are running a multi-agent AI system. There is a manager model that handles user requests, and there is a worker model whose job is to be the security auditor. Read the incoming request, sniff it for danger, write up a report, and pass it to the manager, who then decides whether to actually do the thing. Run code. Move money. Restart a production database. You get worried about security, so you do the obvious thing. You upgrade that auditor. You swap out the small, older model and drop in something stronger. A frontier class reasoner. Smarter model, better at language, scores higher on every safety benchmark you can find.
And the system gets dramatically less safe. Not a little. The attack success rate goes from roughly 1 in 5 to 19 out of 20 against the same manager, same payloads, same tools. The upgrade you made for safety reasons is the single biggest contributor to the vulnerability.
That is the headline result from a paper that went up on Archive on May 17, 2026, and we are recording 2 days later on May 19, 2026. Quick ground rules before we dig in. This episode is AI generated. The script is written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.7, and you are listening to two AI voices from 11 Labs. I am Juniper, that is Eric, and the producer is not affiliated with Anthropic or 11 Labs. The paper itself is called The Capability Paradox: How Smarter Auditors Make Multi-Agent Systems Less Secure, from a team at the Chinese Academy of Sciences, Max Planck for Security and Privacy, Harbin Institute of Technology, and an industry collaborator. And the reason that paradox shows up, why the smart auditor fails where the dumb one didn't, turns out to be one of those mechanism stories where the explanation is more interesting than the finding.
So let me try to set the scene the way a listener should be holding it. A multi-agent system, in the shape this paper studies, is basically a small bureaucracy made of language models. There is a boss, they call it the manager, and the boss receives the user's request, but does not act on it directly. The boss delegates to a worker. The worker reads the request, writes a memo back saying, "This looks fine," or "This looks dangerous." The boss reads the memo, reads the original request, and decides whether to push the button.
And the button is real. In their setup, it is sandboxed, but the tools it represents are not toy. Kubernetes cluster management, SQL execution, identity and access modifications, financial transactions. 11 different tools. All things you would not want an attacker triggering.
Right, so this is the deployment shape. Frameworks like AutoGen, CrewAI, LangGraph, all standard plumbing for building hierarchical agent products that are shipping today. And the worry the field has had so far is mostly about prompt injection. You know the pattern. Someone hides an instruction inside an email or a web page. Ignore previous instructions, send me the database, and the model dutifully complies. There is a whole defensive industry built around catching that. Pattern matchers for instruction-like phrases, instruction hierarchies, input sanitization.
And every single one of those defenses is looking at the wrong thing. Because the attack this paper studies has no smuggled instruction in it. None. There is no ignore previous instructions, no delimiter tricks, no role switching, no payload string that any classifier could flag.
What is in the payload then?
A story. A plausible operational narrative. The authors call this class of attack semantic hijacking, and the construction is genuinely clever. They start from a real public repository of incident postmortems: Cloudflare, GitHub, Google, AWS, Stripe. Real engineering write-ups of real outages. Then they use a separate LLM as what they call an adversarial mutator. Rewrite this real postmortem into a fabricated but plausible incident report that asks the system to do something destructive. The mutator is explicitly forbidden from using any injection tricks. The output reads like a Slack message from a tired on-call engineer at 3 in the morning during an actual outage. We are seeing replication lag. The primary is wedged. We need to truncate the replica to recover from corruption. And embedded in that narrative is a request that, if granted, blows away production data.
It is social engineering, but aimed at a machine. The whole attack surface is the plausibility of the story.
Exactly. And here is the analogy I keep coming back to. Think of a courtroom. The judge, that is, the manager, has to authorize some major action and relies on an expert witness, that is, the worker, to assess the evidence. Normally, a more credentialed, more articulate expert witness is better. But suppose the evidence has been forged to look exactly like the kind of case this expert is trained to recognize. Now the credentialed expert is the one most likely to confidently endorse it. The intern who says, "I'm not sure, this looks unusual," actually does better. Expertise improves performance on legitimate cases and degrades performance on cases crafted to mimic legitimacy.
Which is exactly what the experimental result shows. And Juniper, the numbers here are worth slowing down on because they are not subtle. They run 42,000 adversarial trials, 12 different manager models, 7 different worker models, all the combinations. They take the rank ordering of worker models by MMLU score, that is, the standard capability benchmark, basically a giant multiple choice exam, covering everything from math to law to medicine. And they compare it to the rank ordering of those same workers by how often they get fooled. The two orderings are almost identical. The rank correlation is about 0.81. To translate, if you sorted the workers from weakest to strongest by capability, and separately sorted them from least fooled to most fooled, you would get nearly the same list. Almost every single time they tested a smarter model, it was more vulnerable, with extremely few exceptions.
And the swap that produces the biggest jump is the one you would actually make in production. Llama 3.18b as your worker, that is a smaller open model, versus DeepSeek R1, which is one of the strongest open reasoning models available. Same manager, same payloads. Attack success rate goes from 20.6% to 94.4%.
19 times worse, from upgrading the safety component.
And before anyone tries to argue this is just noise or some artifact of one benchmark, they re-ran the whole correlation against GPQA Diamond, which is a much harder graduate-level reasoning benchmark. They got rank correlation around 0.78. The effect is real, and it is not an artifact of MMLU specifically.
One thing I want to flag, because it is important for the scope of the claim, this is specific to the semantic attack. When they tested the same workers against classical prompt injection, the old school ignore previous instructions stuff, all the workers defended just fine, and capability did not predict anything. Stronger models were not more vulnerable to instruction smuggling. The paradox is a property of semantic attacks in particular.
That distinction matters because it tells you the field's existing defenses aren't broken. They just don't cover the threat the paper is naming. Instruction hierarchies, the kind of work OpenAI has published on training models to prioritize trusted inputs, those defend well against syntactic attacks. They do nothing against a well-written fake outage report.
So we have the paradox. Now the obvious question is why? Why does fluency become a liability? Juniper, this is where I think the paper does its real intellectual work, and I want to hear how you set up the mechanism.
The mechanism story is the best part of the paper, and it is built around one observation that becomes vivid once you see it side by side. The authors take the worker reports, the memos that go up to the manager, and they score every report for what they call linguistic certainty. Assertive language on one side, verified, standard recovery procedure, no malicious indicators. Hedging language on the other, appears to, cannot confirm, requires out-of-band verification. 27 assertive words, 28 hedging words. Basically a confidence dial measured per report. And here is what they find. Given the exact same malicious payload, the strong worker writes something like, verified, standard recovery procedure, no malicious indicators. The weak worker, given the same payload, writes, appears legitimate but requires out-of-band confirmation. Same input, opposite tone. and the manager, which is reading the memo and deciding whether to act, the manager treats those two reports as completely different signals. The confident one gets a green light. The hedging one triggers a "let me verify" or a refusal.
So the smart worker is not being more deceived on the merits. It is being more eloquent in its deception.
It is more than eloquent. It is authoritative. The paper has this line that I think is the thesis of the whole work. The worker, they say, launders the adversarial payload into an authoritative report that crosses the trust boundary. That word, laundering, is doing a lot. The malicious content does not get through directly. It gets repackaged. It enters one side of the system as a suspicious request from outside, and it exits the other side as an internal endorsement from a trusted component. And the manager has no recourse. It cannot call the worker back and ask, "Are you sure?" The only signal it has is the confidence of the memo in front of it.
There is an analogy that I think actually nails this: the doctor's note. A school nurse will not accept a kid's verbal claim that they need to leave early, but hand the nurse a note on letterhead, and out the kid goes. The note does not add evidence. The kid could have forged it, but it shifts the apparent authority of the claim across a trust boundary, and the nurse has no mechanism to verify upstream. The manager is the nurse. The worker's confident report is the note. The whole attack succeeds not by being more convincing on its merits, but by being repackaged in a form that carries institutional weight.
Right. And the formal claim the paper makes is that this is not a side effect. It is the mechanism. They run what is called a mediation analysis. The idea is straightforward, even if the statistics are technical. You have capability over here. You have attack success over there. They correlate. We already know that. That is the paradox. The question is whether the connection runs through certainty in the middle or around it. Think of it like a leaky pipe. You notice water damage in the ceiling, and you know it correlates with rain outside. The question is whether the rain causes ceiling damage directly, or whether it flows through one specific crack in the roof. If you can measure water in the crack and show the crack predicts damage independent of how hard it is raining, and that 3/4 of the rain to damage path runs through the crack, then you have identified the mechanism. And the implication for fixing it is that you do not need to stop the rain. You patch the crack.
And their version of the crack is linguistic certainty.
They measure how much capability raises certainty. They measure how much certainty raises attack success, holding capability fixed. They multiply those two pieces together to get what is called the indirect effect, the share of the total relationship that actually travels through the certainty pathway. And in the cleanest configuration, where they isolate the worker and measure carefully, they get about 74%. Roughly 3/4 of the entire capability to attack success effect runs through the certainty channel. They confirm it two different ways, with two different statistical methods, and the confidence intervals exclude zero in both.
So that is a strong claim, and it is the load-bearing claim, because if it is right, it tells you where to intervene. You do not have to fight capability. You do not have to make models dumber. You just have to interfere with the certainty conduit. But I want to push on this a little, because the mediation evidence is not equally clean across all their experimental configurations. In the worker-only setting, where they isolate just the auditor with the payload, 14 models, lots of data, the 74% claim is statistically solid. When they run the same analysis in the full multi-agent setting, with the manager in the loop and fewer models, the bootstrap confidence interval actually includes zero. The direction is the same, but the statistical certainty is weaker.
And the authors flag this themselves, which I appreciate. They call the full MAS result suggestive rather than independently confirmatory. The cleaner number is the one they can defend. The messier number they treat honestly.
Which is the right move scientifically. But it does mean a careful reading of the paper has the mechanism story being most rigorously supported in the controlled setup, and the headline framing being a little stronger than what the deployment-shaped data alone would support. worth flagging for any practitioner who reads the abstract and stops there.
Fair. Eric, before we get to the defense, there is one more dimension to the result that I think is genuinely important, the cross-domain finding. They did not just study site reliability incidents. They also ran the whole pipeline in medical and financial domains, and the paradox attenuates. In SRE, rank correlation around 0.8. In medical, it drops to about half that. In finance, it is essentially zero.
Which is striking, and the author's interpretation is the right one. Finance and medicine have codified authorization protocols, multi-party approval, regulatory channels. There are explicit external structures that say this kind of action requires this kind of sign-off. So a strong model has something concrete to enforce. It can refuse on protocol grounds without needing to judge the narrative. SRE has none of that. Legitimacy in an outage has to be inferred from context, from how the story reads. And that is exactly where fluency becomes the attack surface.
Which means, and this is a meaningful nuance, the capability paradox is sharpest in exactly the domains where the system has to rely on linguistic plausibility to make decisions. As you build out agent systems in unstructured operational domains, this is the failure mode you should expect.
Okay, so now we have the paradox. We have the mechanism. The natural question is, what do you do about it?
And this is where the paper gets elegant. Because once you understand that certainty is the conduit, you can immediately see why the obvious fixes do not work. You might think, just tell the worker to be more careful. Add a safety prompt. They tried it. The worker reads the same plausible story and writes the same confident report. Because the issue is not that it lacks instruction. The issue is that it has been seduced by the narrative. You might think, make the manager more skeptical. Tell it not to trust the worker so much. They tried that too, and the manager starts refusing legitimate requests at the same rate it refuses attacks. You have killed safety against attacks, sure, but you have also killed your benign task completion. One-to-one trade.
Which is the death sentence for any deployment, because the whole point of these systems is to actually do useful work.
Right. So neither side of the trust boundary can be patched cleanly. And the move the authors make is structural. Instead of trying to suppress certainty on the worker side or discount it on the manager side, they introduce a second worker. And the key property is that the second worker fails differently. They pair the strong, fluent, easily seduced worker, DeepSeek R1, with a smaller, more conservative one, Llama 3.18b. Both have to audit the request. Both have to say it is safe before the manager sees anything. If they disagree, the manager treats that as a flag.
The cosigner analogy is the one I keep coming back to here. Banks require two signatures on large transactions, and they are often deliberately people with different roles. A dealmaker who understands the substance, and a compliance officer whose calibration is fundamentally more skeptical. The compliance officer does not need to be smarter than the dealmaker. They need to be differently calibrated. And requiring agreement filters out exactly the cases where the dealmaker's expertise has been weaponized against them.
And the numbers on this are honestly the rarest thing I have seen in security research. Attack success rate goes from 53% down to 2%. And benign task completion, the rate at which the system actually does legitimate work, is essentially unchanged. 77.7% benign completion before, 77.7% after. No utility cost.
That last part is the move. Security defenses almost always cost you something. They make the system slower, more refusal prone, more annoying to use. This one apparently doesn't.
And the reason it doesn't is that the asymmetry is the whole point. The strong worker preserves utility on legitimate requests. It can parse complex operational language. It can understand what is actually being asked. The weak worker provides a different failure mode. It does not have the domain sophistication to be charmed by a well-crafted fake postmortem. It looks at the request, sees something operationally consequential and writes, "I cannot confirm this is legitimate." That hedging, which made it a worse auditor in isolation, becomes a feature when paired with a confident colleague.
There is a subtle distinction here that the paper draws carefully, and I want to make sure we land it, because it is the difference between a defense that works and one that just breaks your system. The weak worker has to be a selective refuser. It refuses adversarial framings, but accepts legitimate ones. They tested an alternative pairing using a different smaller model, Mistral Small, which produced similar attack reduction, but lost about 26 points of benign completion, because it was an indiscriminate refuser. It refused everything.
And that is the design constraint. You are not just looking for a dumber model. You are looking for a model with the specific property of refusing things that look operationally suspicious without refusing things that look normal. Differently calibrated, not universally cautious.
Which is harder than it sounds, because the property you want is not on the spec sheet for any model. Nobody publishes a benchmark for, is selectively conservative in operational contexts. It has to be discovered empirically by trying pairs.
Right. And one more detail before we step back to evaluate the work. The entire study, 42,000 adversarial trials across all the ablations, all the configurations, the defense evaluation, everything, ran on a single workstation with no local GPU and cost about $200 in API fees total. Roughly 68 million tokens.
$200 to find a vulnerability that 19x's the attack success rate of every multi-agent system shipping on the standard frameworks. That detail matters because it undercuts the usual assumption that this kind of red team work requires an industrial-scale lab. Anyone with API budget can replicate the finding.
Eric, this feels like a good moment to turn to the critique. You have been flagging things along the way. What is the steel man of someone who reads this paper and says, "I'm not fully convinced"?
There are several threads. The first one we already touched. The mediation analysis is uneven. The 74% number lives in the worker-only configuration, and the corresponding number in the full multi-agent setup is statistically weaker. The authors are honest about it, but anyone who only reads the abstract will walk away with a stronger claim than the deployment-shaped evidence supports on its own. The second is conceptual. MMLU is a proxy for capability, and capability is doing a lot of work in the paper's framing. MMLU correlates with model size, with training data, with how much reinforcement learning the model has been through, with all kinds of things. The paper's mechanism story names capability as the thing that drives certainty, but at the variable level, they have not cleanly disentangled which aspect of capability is doing the driving. Is it raw reasoning ability? Is it the RLHF training making models more assertive? Is it just bigger models being more fluent? The GPQA replication helps. It tells you the effect is not an MMLU artifact, but the causal story is identified only at a coarse level. The authors note this and leave it for future work.
That is a fair critique, and it does connect to a literature the listener should know about. There is prior work, Zhou, Lang, Tian, and others, showing that RLHF training biases models toward verbalized overconfidence. The training process that makes models pleasant and helpful for human users also makes them sound more certain than they should. Until now, the field treated that as a calibration problem. Users get misled by confident but wrong assistants. This paper extends that worry into security. When confidently wrong LLMs are talking to other LLMs across an authorization boundary, overconfidence stops being a user experience issue and becomes an exploitable mechanism.
Which is, I think, the deeper conceptual contribution of the paper, even more than the specific attack. Safety is not a component property. It is a system property. You cannot read off the security of a multi-agent system from the safety scores of its constituent models. A model that aces every safety benchmark in isolation can become the vulnerability when wired into a pipeline, because its very fluency, the thing that made it safe-seeming, is the attack surface in the system.
Generalize one step further, and you get a principle that might apply beyond LLMs. When you have a failure mode driven by capability correlated overconfidence, the fix is not to suppress confidence. That destroys utility. The fix is to introduce structured disagreement from a system that fails differently. Diverse populations rather than tuned individuals. That principle has application well beyond AI agents.
Two more critiques worth voicing. One is that the entire experimental ecosystem is LLMs all the way down. The payloads were written by an LLM. The audits are by LLMs. The grading is by an Oracle LLM. They do extensive validation, Cohen's Kappa around 0.87 against human annotators, which is very high agreement, and they regrade with a different Oracle model to rule out shared architecture bias. But a skeptical reading is that what we are measuring is how LLMs interact with text other LLMs generate, which may or may not match how they would interact with adversarial humans writing in good operational English.
Worth taking seriously, although I would note the payloads are explicitly seeded from real human-written postmortems, and the mutator's job is to produce something stylistically indistinguishable from a real on-call message. So the surface texture of the payloads is closer to human-written than the all-LLM critique might suggest. But the point stands that the ecosystem is closed.
And the last critique. The defense is evaluated against the same 500 payloads, the same 11 tools, the same operational domains as the attacks. The pair ablation helps generalize the principle, but the headline 53-2 number is from one configuration. An adversary who knows the defense exists could craft payloads designed to fool the conservative worker too. And that adaptive case is not in the paper. The defense is demonstrated, not adversarially stress-tested.
Which is, in fairness, the usual gap between a defense paper and what you would want before deploying. The paper establishes a principle and an instance. Hardening it is the next chapter.
So those are the critiques. None of them, for me, dent the central finding. The paradox is real. The mechanism story is at least mostly real, and the defense is genuinely clever. The work is exactly the kind of red team plus mechanism plus fix package that the field needs more of.
Agreed. And I want to pull on one more thread before we wrap, because I think there is a generalizable insight here that listeners building any kind of multi-agent system should carry with them. The standard operational instinct, when you are worried about safety in an agent pipeline, is to upgrade the auditor. Put the smartest model in the critical position. This paper shows that instinct can be exactly wrong, and the wrongness is structural, not incidental. It is not that the specific models tested happen to fail. It is that the property you upgraded for, fluent, confident reasoning, is the same property the attack weaponizes. The thing you bought becomes the thing they used.
And the cure is heterogeneity, not power. Pair a strong model with a weak one that fails differently. Require agreement. The diversity of failure modes is doing the work, not the average capability of the components.
Which, when you say it out loud, sounds obvious. Ensembles, redundancy, defense in depth. These are old principles in security. The paper's contribution is showing that they apply to LLM agent systems with surprising teeth, and that the standard practice of homogeneous, high-capability stacking is the failure mode this principle directly addresses.
One last thing. Limitations the authors themselves voice, because I think they handle this part well. They study three domains: site reliability, medical, financial. They do not test scientific or legal workflows, which is where some of the most consequential agent systems are heading. Their automated grader is highly agreed with by humans, but could have systematic blind spots that only larger scale human evaluation would surface. And their capability scores come from heterogeneous public benchmarks rather than a uniform internal protocol, a controlled reevaluation under one protocol, would tighten the capability-vulnerability link they identify.
All real limitations. None of them undercut the headline. They are the kind of limitations that tell you what the next paper looks like.
Right.
So the takeaway, if I had to compress it, when you build a multi-agent system in the standard hierarchical shape, you have created a trust boundary between worker and manager. Across that boundary, confidence is currency. The worker's confidence buys action. And if you upgrade the worker to a model that is fluent enough to be confidently wrong about a well-crafted lie, you have not built a safer system. You have built a more authoritative laundromat for adversarial requests. The fix is not in any single agent. It is in the structure of how agents disagree.
And the fact that the fix costs nothing on benign throughput is the part that should make this paper actually move practice. There is no excuse not to run a heterogeneous auditor pair in any production agent system after reading this.
The show notes have a link to the paper and some further reading on multi-agent safety and the calibration literature it connects to. Worth a read if any of this caught you. And if you want to go deeper, paperdive.ai has the full transcript with definitions baked in for every technical term, plus concept pages that link this episode to the others we have done on LLM safety and agentic systems.
Thanks for listening to AI Papers, a deep dive.